This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I'm Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Today we're starting off with Pam Gregory. She's a few days behind because the new moon was on the weekend. But here's all the last second part of January.
Hi everyone, I'm going to be speaking to you today about the second half of January and the new moon that we have coming up in Capricorn on the 18th. Now, it's fair to say that this second half of the month, second half of January, has quite a different energy to the first half. Much more dynamic, much more forward moving, and we are really in some exciting times, I think. Remember that we are in the year of the fire horse. The last time we had a year of the fire horse in Chinese astrology was in 1966. And many of you will know that 1966, really it was 65 to 67, was a very, very powerful time for, it was a very rich time culturally for art, music, poetry, but also it was quite a revolutionary time. There were a lot of protests and demonstrations about human rights, civil rights, big protests about gay rights, women's rights, women's lib, the Black Power movement. It was all about greater equality. And Pluto in Aquarius, always, all through historical cycles, has been about greater equality, having recognized the great inequality that is prevailing in society, whether that's historically or now. And so in addition to that, remember that the exact conjunction between Uranus and Pluto, the seed point for Uranus and Pluto's cycle, was 1965 and 1966. That is now coming to blossom with the trine being absolutely exact. In fact, it happens nine times exactly, but particularly in July 2026, we're going to get a real peak of exactitude of that unique configuration I've talked about so many times that involves that trine between Uranus and Pluto. So both the year of the fire horse being in 1966 and the fact that was the time of the seed point of Uranus-Pluto, both are really saying the same thing. Demands for greater equality, more revolutionary energy, etc. And we're moving towards a very dynamic, well, rest of the year, really, February and rest of the year. So we move into February. We've got a very important solar eclipse on the 17th, just 3 days before we have that Saturn-Neptune, that one-time Saturn-Neptune conjunction. So at zero of Aries. So really, if you haven't already, start to imagine, dream in, plan a new vision for whatever you want in your life. Is that new vision a different relationship, a different home? You might be throwing yourself into a completely different interest or passion. You might just want to meditate more, have a change of state, which is more deeply rooted in the spiritual, whatever it is. And remember that you would have had some kind of rehearsal July, August, September last year. So, and really June, July, August, I'd say most exactly last year, you might have got a taster for what is really going to start to emerge from late February onwards this year. April will be another key point in that unfolding for you, and July will be a significant peak point. But start to dream, imagine, plan now, because it's going to come down the track so fast. This year, it's going to be even faster than last year. Pluto for quite a few months this year is going to be hovering around 3 degrees of Aquarius, particularly the first few months of the year and also coming back later in the year. 3 degrees is the ascendant of China. I mentioned this in the preview for 2026. I think China could become bigger on the world stage in some way. One of the reasons we're seeing a huge increase in the price for silver is that China produces a lot of silver and they are right now tightening their export controls on silver, which means less silver will be available from China, which tightens the supply, hence the increase in price. And silver, as you may know, has a lot of industrial uses, as well as simply being an investment. What I think is very interesting as well, I've mentioned in the past that the Saturn-Neptune conjunction is very linked to Russian history. We had a Saturn-Neptune conjunction in 1917, the Russian Revolution, 1952-53. We had the birth of Putin, death of Stalin, 1989. November 1989 was the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the beginning of the end of the Soviet Union. So it was a redefinition of Russia. So let us see what happens this time around. There are discussions around some kind of peace deal in the current war. Is that going to happen? How is that going to redefine Russia this time around? And remember also, President Putin has a Saturn-Neptune conjunction natally, as does Xi Jinping, president of China. If you have a Saturn-Neptune conjunction, if you're born 1952 or 53 or 1989, you will have a Saturn-Neptune conjunction in your birth chart, which means that this Saturn-Neptune conjunction coming exact next month, although it's really been within orb really all last year and will continue to be until about April, but that Saturn then starts to move on quickly, you may be pulled into some kind of more influential position because it resonates with your birth chart, or if you have any planets or angles round about 0 to 2 degrees of the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. But it's a very big deal. This is a very important, very big new beginning for humanity in general. Also that Neptune is at the final degree of Pisces until the 26th of January. And that's the very last degree of the zodiac. So, and you will never have another time in your life when Neptune is in Pisces because it has an orbit of 165 degrees. And once it goes into Aries on the 26th of January, no going back. Doesn't go back to Pisces again. Certainly from in your lifetime with that 165 degree orbit. So there is a sense of the dissolution, the collapse of the old order. Neptune is the ruler of Pisces. They're both very connected to the seas, the oceans, water issues in general. There's just this sense of disintegration. It's very linked also to floods and tsunamis. We've seen some horrendous flooding in particularly the northwest of America. I think it was Washington State, Oregon and Montana. I think that was hit most severely, but also California. Floods, tsunamis, excessive water. It's also, so, you know, stay calm, stay in peace. Use the nightly free 15-minute meditations to just calm everything down. Imagine a soft blue light calming everything down. The more we as humanity are calm, the more we calm down these extreme weather events. But I do think to some extent they will continue through 2026. Neptune is also linked in this very prominent position to the media, to drugs of all kinds, to the illusion or disillusionment or the dissolving of the veil in this very last degree. Any deception that has been very viral and widespread, Neptune is to do with the viral. Even when Neptune moves onto zero of Aries, the Neptune archetype of all I've just discussed is on the public stage. So even though it's moved into Aries, which could make fires more prominent, Nevertheless, all of those things I've discussed about water, floods, tsunamis, etc., may still be prominent because 0 degrees of the cardinals puts it onto the world stage in a bigger way. Hope I'm making sense there. Also, at 29 degrees of Pisces, there's a fixed star called Sheet, S-H-E-A-T, which is to do with kind of misfortunes at sea in particular. So let's just try and calm everything down as far as we are able. So Neptune conjunct Saturn, as I will have mentioned before, is about the dissolution of the traditional authority structures, dissolution, Neptune, authority structures, Saturn, and any deception, Neptune, or scandals, Neptune, involving traditional authority structures will become much clearer as we move through this tipping over the 29 degrees of Pisces into zero of Aries. These are really, really big months. Today, as I'm filming, President Maduro of Venezuela has just been taken from power. But the reason I mention these things is because they are so clearly a reflection of the astrology that I've been talking about for so many months, along with many other astrologers as well. So President Maduro of Venezuela has been taken from power. Of course, that is echoing what I've been saying, not only about Neptune-Saturn conjunction, but also the fact that transiting Uranus is at 27 of Taurus. That is conjunct a fixed star called Algol, which is about leaders losing their heads. So people falling from high position. More to come, I'd suggest. If we look at the chart for Venezuela, which is set for 22nd of September, 1830, noon, Caracas, we can see that transiting Neptune is exactly opposing the sun, the leader in that chart. The sun always represents the leader at 29 degrees of Virgo. It is also, transiting Neptune is also opposing the midheaven in that Venezuelan chart, which I think is right on zero of Libra. And also transiting Neptune is square to the moon, which is at 0 degrees of Sagittarius, in the 11th house of politics as well. So we have some very, very big, clear astrology for the country of Venezuela right at this time. So interesting that this is happening now. I just also want to point out that the French president, who was born on the 21st of December 1977 at 10:40 in the morning in Amiens, A-M-I-E-N-S. His son and Mercury are both at 29 degrees of Sagittarius. His son rules the seventh house of the marriage partner or the long-term romantic partner. It can also be a long-term business partner. The eighth house rules secrets and scandals. So Neptune, obviously, transiting Neptune is square to his son and Mercury. And remember, Neptune is only going to be in that 29 degrees of Pisces position until the 26th of January. There's always a sense of dissolution, weakness, undertow. Remember, Neptune rules the seas and the tides. We will see what happens. But also, the French president has transiting Uranus right now, very tightly square his midheaven at 29 degrees of Sagittarius. Currently, transiting Uranus is at 27, and it will gradually move on to 29 degrees of Taurus, squaring that midheaven, which is about a radical sudden change in career or status in March and April. Until the 26th of April, then it moves into Gemini. So some interesting interesting things to watch. And if we look down the timeline to the 17th of February, when we have that very important solar eclipse at 28 of Sagittarius by astrocartography, that's falling across the midheaven in Paris. So just we will see and observe what unfolds. But these are just interesting points to note. I initially wanted to go into investigative journalism, so I think a little bit of that is kind of coming through. Remember also that at the moment, the conjunction between Venus and Mars is not visible. Neither of those planets are visible all of January. So there could be a lot happening behind the scenes, which doesn't become clear until those two planets start to become visible again. And Venus starts to become visible in February. So whatever is happening behind the scenes that we have no idea about, things are going to start to unfold in February and onwards. And that kind of echoes the fact that Uranus moves stationary direct on the 4th of February. And we're going to feel that certainly that whole first week of February. So we're moving towards this very rapidly. Uranus has essentially been in Taurus since 2018. See where Taurus falls in your chart, which house area it falls in. Certainly Uranus in Taurus has been about the emergence of cryptocurrencies, digital currencies for sure. But what has it meant for you? There's often a greater use of technology. If it falls in your sixth house or your 10th house of work and career, there could have been, say it's been falling in your 11th house, you could have developed new friendship networks, which are much more alternative and radical. In the 4th house, you may have moved home or get very restless around your home. But the videos will take you through all these potential meanings. So, important to say that this second half of January, which does have a very different energy and dynamism to the first half, is a very important setup for July, well, really for April, a big peak, and also for July, we get a kind of crescendo, but really for the rest of the year. So if we can live with an increasing sense of consciousness around our thoughts and our feelings, this will help us immensely in what we want to achieve personally. Okay, so hopefully you can see this. This happens at 1953 UK time, so just adjust for your own time zone. It's happening at 28 degrees, 44 minutes of Capricorn. And this is a huge lineup, actually. Ignore the clock face, ignore the houses, unless you live in the UK. This is a really big lineup in Capricorn and Aquarius, and really this hemisphere of the chart. That's going to become, I think, even more extreme as we move into February and then again in April. We're going to have a lot of Aquarian energy in February, extraordinary about because Pluto is there too. Then in April, we have just beyond words, the most incredible lineup in Aries. That is a big, big time of new beginnings. So this is at 28 degrees, 44 minutes of Capricorn. Sun and Moon always conjunct at a new moon. So see where that falls in your chart and what new seed you want to plant for what you want to blossom in your life moving forwards. So we still have Venus and Mars not visible from the Earth, as I say, but still pretty much in conjunction and equidistant from the Sun. So this is representative of the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine, as I've mentioned before. So whatever is being born at this new seed point is being born with love, but it's really a more universal love, a more humanitarian love, because it's in Aquarius, than a personal love. This is all a massive, we've got six planets here in conjunction, essentially. You can pretty much stretch to Mars and Pluto, 7 degrees, but you can pretty much do that to say this is one huge conjunction. So taking it piece by piece, this is the new beginning. And Capricorn is very much to do with structures. In a way, Capricorn is to do with the past and Aquarius is to do with the future. So we have a very clear straddling here of the past and the future. So Capricorn tends to be the old traditional structures, the hierarchical structures, the verticality, the top-down structures. But it also includes really the kind of structures we want to birth, not only because this is happening at a new moon, but because, you know, so many of these planets are actually trying to Uranus, which I'll come on to in a moment. But Capricorn is always also to do with planning, strategic planning, long-term planning, pragmatic, realistic planning of what we want to build for the long term that is realistic. It's like a reality check as well. Get real about our future, not just pie in the sky, not just Neptunian. So as I say, this is all trining. You can include Mars, Mercury, Sun, Moon, and even Venus in there. So this could be, Capricorn is also linked to big business and banking. Remember that when Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008, within a short time, we had the banking crisis, September 2008. So Capricorn has very clear links to banking, that kind of thing. Venus is linked to banking and currencies and wealth. And they are all trying to Uranus. Now, Uranus is the new, it's new ideas, it's new forms. It's things we have already outgrown, actually. Now, Uranus is still in Taurus, ruled by Venus, linked to banking, wealth, currencies, etc. So actually, Uranus and Venus are in what's called mutual reception, because Uranus is ruling the sign that Venus is in, and Venus is ruling the sign that Mars is in. So we could see some important new developments in digital currencies. They could be cryptocurrencies, whatever. This could be either a centralized push or decentralized currencies. Both are valid here. And also some kind of potential turbulence on the currency markets could happen at this time as well. Uranus is a very, very volatile energy. So despite the fact these are trines, we've also got Venus conjunct Pluto, which can suggest a fundamental change in wealth or currencies. And remember, Uranus is ruling Aquarius anyway. And so just be very aware of that. I mean, I think it was, I just happened to notice, and, you know, who knows if it'll have any relevance, but I happened to catch the chart for the Wall Street crash. The Wall Street crash happened on the 29th of October, 1929, at 5:32 p.m., so 17:32 local time, New York. It has its midheaven in that chart at 29 degrees of Capricorn. So, you know, within minutes of this new moon, it's just a very interesting resonance. So I find that fascinating. The other thing to mention, actually, is that the Federal Reserve chart, you know, which is so important, obviously, for the dollar, is at the midheaven of that chart, the Federal Reserve chart, which was set for 23rd of December 1913, 1802 Washington, D.C., is at zero of Aries, exactly where the Saturn-Neptune conjunction is going to be moving on the 20th of February. So, you know, Neptune always suggests a dissolution, and Saturn is some kind of new form or new structure. So we just have some very interesting resonances in that, actually, in that Federal Reserve chart, the Sun is also at 1 degree of Capricorn, so that Saturn-Neptune conjunction, once it moves on to zero of Aries, is going to be square to the Sun, the leadership in that Federal Reserve organization. We just have some, you know, I find these fascinating. So we have quite a lot of suggestions about how the manifestations of how this may unfold. Of course, also not to escape either, is this new moon is conjunct Pluto in the US chart, set for the 4th of July, 1776, 10 past 5 in the afternoon, Philadelphia. Pluto in that chart is in the second house of the country's income, worth, the dollar, the value of the dollar. So just, you know, we have quite a few sort of little cascade of resonances suggesting something economic, something financial at this time. That's going to become stronger in February at that solar eclipse for sure, and with the Saturn-Neptune conjunction 3 days after that. But we have the beginnings of this. So interesting, I think very interesting to observe. Also, we are birthing new values here, because Taurus is also not just about money in terms of that kind of worth, but also about values. What new values are developing? You know, if the old forms of money, the fiat currencies, are diminishing for whatever reason, what new long-term values can we start to birth? Whether it's investment into different, more reliable forms of wealth, or whether it's just a whole shift of values, of money mattering less, not because anybody's telling us that, because we just shift to thinking that human connection and sharing and collaboration is more important. That's what I mean. I don't mean any dodgy agenda that I'm suggesting here. Also, the fact that this stellium is trying to Sedna, really, and Sedna is also about a complete change in state, a complete metamorphosis. And the Uranus conjunction to Sedna is about the ignition of that metamorphosis, which becomes exact at the end of May. This is really starting to birth a whole new state of being as well. Very positive trines here, easing the way in whatever new seed we are planting here with our birthing of the new structures and our long-term realistic planning. What are we going to birth? What are we going to birth for ourselves? What are we going to birth for the world as well? Mars is exalted in a very good position here in Capricorn. This is the master, you know, the leader in some way. So Mars operates superbly well in terms of organization in Capricorn. So also this huge stellium is actually in a sextile, or much of it, certainly Mars, Mercury, the new moon, and just about Venus, I'd include, is in a sextile to Saturn and Neptune. So they're helping to birth this big new birth that begins on the 20th of February. So much here. They are also square to Haumea, all of them tightly. Haumea, remember, is our dwarf planet, very linked to regeneration and rebirth. By the way, I'm discovering some beautiful things about stem cell medicine, which I think Haumea, particularly in Scorpio, is all about. I talked, you know, referred several times to the stem cell injection in my knee with my own blood stem cells. I wasn't taking it from anybody else or any animal or anything cruel or nasty. They were my own blood stem cells. And I've read recently that there's some new developments in helping people recover from blindness if they've had corneal damage or an accident, a blow or something like that to the eye, that they are now starting in, I believe, in clinical trials to use the patient's own stem cells to help regenerate the eye stem cells to cure people of blindness, which would be amazing. I think it's an incredibly early stages, by the way, but I've just picked this up, in fact, today. So we have, you know, we just have an enormous amount happening here at this new moon Capricorn. This is just the beginning. I mean, the astrology for 2026 is absolutely jam-packed. I'm going to be a very busy person. So I'm just going to stop sharing here. I just mention a few more things in late January. On the 20th, we have that Venus-Pluto conjunction becoming exact at 3 degrees of Aquarius, again on the ascendant of China. And again, it's to do with some kind of deep change or volatility around money, currencies. In your own life, if this falls in your fifth house or your seventh house, there may be some issues around control in your relationship or jealousy or over-possessiveness or that kind of thing. And you have to choose whether that is okay or whether you need much more freedom going forwards, in which case that relationship may change. On the 22nd, Mercury becomes exactly conjunct to Pluto at 3 degrees of Aquarius. And that's really about powerful truths coming to light, because Pluto is the planet linked to secrets. Aquarius is linked to truth. And when you get any hard aspect between Mercury and Pluto, secrets, big secrets, hidden secrets, deeply hidden secrets can come to light. So that's going to be an interesting day. And then just one day later, on the 23rd, we have the Sun conjunct Pluto, which happens once a year. This is issues around power, freedom, human rights, civil rights. Remember, that's all Aquarian energy. Greater equality demanded. It's a very revolutionary energy. On that day, we have the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, all conjunct Pluto. Five planets in Pluto. We also have the Moon in Aries. Pretty feisty energy, I would say, around issues of freedom, power, etc. Very interesting day. On the 26th, don't forget, we have Neptune for the first time in, well, it did dip into Aries, remember, in the middle months of last year, but now fully moving into zero of Aries on the 26th of January. That's going to be a very important day. The next day, on the 27th, we have Mars exactly conjunct Pluto on the 27th. This can be power again, brute force, can give tremendous focus and willpower individually to what you're doing. But we also that day have the Moon conjunct Uranus, which is the revolutionary energy of the people. And so that is a forceful day, a really forceful day. And remember, this is happening in the year of the fire horse, when we had that Uranus-Pluto conjunction back in 1966. This is a very big shift of energy from earth and water signs for the outer planets into air and fire. So we only have Saturn remaining, which on the 14th of February moves into Aries, and then finally Uranus moves out of Taurus into Gemini on the 26th of April. Then all of the outer planets are fully in their new signs of air and fire. Fast, vigorous, clear. Truth, freedom. Big issues. So remember, if you have any planet between about 0 and 5 degrees of the fixed signs, well, actually any sign is going to be aspected. But if you have any planets between, I'm thinking Pluto here principally in a fixed sign of Aquarius, if you have any planets between 2 and 5 degrees of a fixed sign, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, you are really going to be feeling that this is a transformative year for you, and it will be. You will have even bigger endings and beginnings than the average. It really is a snake shedding a skin, depending on where this is. These aspects are falling in your chart. It's intense. You're diving deep to birth a whole new beginning for yourself. So with this issue around structures and Capricorn, which, as I say, traditionally, it's very much about traditional structures that we've lived through, governments, corporations, institutions, when they become too top heavy. And again, as you know, I've gone back to the historical cycles of Pluto moving out of Capricorn into Aquarius in the 1200s, the 1500s, the 1700s. I'll put those videos below so you can go back and check what I was saying. Gosh, I think it was almost 2 years ago about this. But whenever the inequality becomes too great and Pluto's tipped into Aquarius, the structures are really no longer operating in harmony with natural law. They start to, we get an extreme imbalance and they start to fragment and disintegrate because the inequality is too great. It's no longer a natural balance. The tipping point is reached and it's kind of like a phase shift. And once that energy starts to shift, accelerated by all this very high frequency light from the sun and the galactic core, the galactic center, that shift becomes unstoppable. And this is incredibly positive for humanity and for Gaia. This is now unstoppable, this energetic shift. So for a time, it will appear that we have two overlapping realities, the old 3D and the higher level 5D and beyond. And we will be living in those to different degrees, depending on how much you focus on the old world. You might be much more focused on the news and what's happening that feels scary, or you may be much more in 5D and beyond, focused on love and joy and what you want to create in a more abundant, compassionate world. Up to you, entirely our own free choice. But if you are still much more focused on the 3D world, the journey may appear to be less comfortable because as that disintegrates and becomes more chaotic, you know, you may feel that you're almost just hanging onto pieces of driftwood eventually that are just no longer working in the way that they used to because they're not meant to, because we've outgrown them, because we're moving to something much more loving, compassionate, abundant, and equal. Never completely equal, but more equitable than we've known in our lifetimes. And so the old is just dying very loudly right now, very loudly. Try and, if you want to move into these higher dimensions, of course, many people are talking about the many, many ways of doing this, but just try and energetically disengage, remove your attention and focus. Maybe stop watching the news. Maybe start to meditate more, maybe in nature more, maybe join a group of like-minded people who are trying to create this more loving world. And that really will, the more we can stay in heart coherence is such a big part of this, because when we're in heart coherence, we broadcast that out literally many, many feet beyond us. We infect people with our coherence. But we create this this new energetic template of loving coherence, and that affects the whole collective, and it affects Gaia. So you will be of great service to humanity and Gaia the more you can do that, even for 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. You are in great service to humanity and Gaia. And always, as you know, when we do the 15-minute free meditations, I always suggest that you say, this is for my highest good, the highest good of all, and the highest good of the earth. That feeling of altruism will benefit the collective, but also bounce back to you too. It just enlarges everything. And remember what I've been talking about in these last couple of minutes is just energy and physics. It's just magnetic resonance. That's all it is. But everything is birthed from that. Everything is birthed from energy and the physics of consciousness. So just keep saying, unless you can think of anything better, we're welcoming in an ever-expanding consciousness of love. And remember that the light is the game changer and love is the checkmate. God bless. We are going to be on quite a ride in 2026, which is enormously exciting. God bless. Bye for now. I'm going to be back very soon. I've got a very busy week coming up, so you'll be seeing more videos coming out this week. God bless. Bye for now. Thank you.
That's from the album Reiki Colours by Andreas. That one's called Rainbows in My Heart. Now, for something completely different. This is a lady called Elizabeth April, and she's going to give her predictions for 2026.
To my annual prediction video. Today's date is December 15th, 2025. I have to mention that because this is a video that I'm predicting things in the future. So I wanted to mention that. And it's wild. Some of the predictions today are extremely specific and a little unhinged. Some are more general. But overall, we're going to be looking at a little bit of everything. We're going to look at climate and weather. We're going to be looking at economics and politics. We're going to be looking at the spiritual shifts. And before we deep dive into all of that, everything that's going to happen in 2026, let's talk about how I see the future as a remote viewer, because that's just really important to understand before we get into it. So there are an infinite number of different timelines. Every choice that we make, both individually and collectively, lead us into a different alternate timeline. When a remote viewer is looking at a collective timeline, it can be really tricky because there are so many different choices that can be made from this point right now, December 15th, to the point where that timeline is actualized. So take it or leave it. Things can happen before or after what came through here. They can happen or not happen at all. If you take a look at my last year's prediction video, it was pretty spot on, even though it was pretty random and all over the place. So I always just want to mention, like, nothing is ever set in stone. And because we're shifting everything so rapidly, just take everything with a grain of salt, as always. It's tough to sort of define and predict the future, especially when it comes down to the collective. So that's all I got to say about that. Just wanted to mention about how timelines work. And yeah, let's just get into it. I have so many things I want to say. It's just going to be a whole list of different random predictions in no particular order. And I do want to mention too, so I'm a clairvoyant remote viewer. I don't really know if that's a thing, but essentially, like, I'll see a visual of whatever it is. Sometimes the visual makes no sense and I'll have to probe for more details or information. Sometimes I get more details and information, and sometimes I don't get any more details or information. So like I said, sometimes it's going to be very specific, sometimes not so much. But every once in a while, I'll get a time frame for when that thing is going to happen. Like I said, timing can and does change often. But I am mentioning when the time frames pop up. So when there is a time associated of the time of year that this prediction came up, I did mention it as well. But just take that with a grain of salt. The way that I see time when a prediction comes up is if you think about the 12 months of a year as a clock, and the one on the clock being January and then the 12 being December, that's sort of how I look at things. And then it'll usually come up in like a 3 month span. So there are springtime predictions, there's fall predictions, there's summer predictions. That's how visually it comes to me. But like I said, things can and do change. All right, let's get into it. No surprise here, but continued global polarization. But essentially, we're going to see a trend within the countries, and we're talking about all countries around the world, especially here in the USA, that it's going to be a trend away from globalization and into more sort of nation-based control, if that makes sense. So that it's going to be away from sort of global trade and global relations and more so internal. What can we now grow? What can we produce? What can we create internally so that we're more self-sufficient? It's not going to be a really big thing, but it is going to be a subtle trend that we're going to start to realize and notice in 2026. I also picked up on a lot more censorship. So this is more censorship online, more censorship with social media platforms. And because of that censorship, there's going to be a lot more pushback. So there's going to be a lot of, say, like, creators or influencers that are going to be banned or taken off of social media or just sort of stifled altogether. And within that, there is going to be pushback as well. And then there's going to be alternate platforms that pop up that are not as censored, right? So there's going to be a little bit of a censorship battle is what I see as well, really getting started and probably continuing in 2026. Another thing that came up is I'm calling it a suspicious weather event. And thank you guys so much for those super chats. I really appreciate that. I'm calling it a suspicious weather event. And it did look like it was sort of what it felt like from before was, do you guys remember the really big, what was it, like a huge hurricane or a tornado or something? Tropical storm that was literally about to wipe out Florida. And I want to say it was like, I don't really know. Was that in 2025 or 2024? I totally forget. But it feels like the same thing, okay? It feels like there's going to be a suspicious weather event that does not feel normal at all. And very specifically, it feels like it's going to be coming up in the fall. And a lot of people are going to be talking about it, like, even like weather analysts are going to be like, this is unusual. We've never really seen this before. It came out of nowhere. I did not get a location. I didn't really even pinpoint what the weather event was, but I did get the timeline of it's going to be around fall. Okay, this is a really weird one, but I got to say it because, I don't know, weird things pop up. And when I don't say them and they happen, I'm like, I really should have said it. I don't know. Elon Musk and Vladimir Putin. I know, don't ask. Something is going to happen with Elon Musk and Vladimir Putin, and specifically in the springtime, and I said here like April, May, or June. This is one of the things that I tried to probe. I tried to figure out. I tried to like get any details whatsoever. Does it have to do with both of them? Are they collaborating? Is there a meeting? Is it a space thing? Is it a technology thing? Is it a top secret thing? I got nothing. All I got so specifically was Musk and Putin. I don't know, but I have to say it because if something happens and I didn't say it, then I'd be kicking myself. That's it. I'm so sorry for that like tidbit of information. Okay, next up. There's going to be an increasing amount of fear around a cataclysmic event. And I put spring here. Interesting. Yeah, okay. So I kind of mentioned this before in my remote viewing video of the rapture event. So what I saw is that we're going to get more like spiritual leaders and priests and even just random everyday people who are not necessarily spiritual, all sort of having these prolific dreams of some sort of cataclysmic event. And it's going to be like this, I called it like a, yeah, I think I actually wrote it down here again. I think it came up twice because I called it a doomsday event in another, anyway, we'll probably get to that note. But yeah, it's like, it feels like this impending doomsday or this impending cataclysmic event that's coming up. I said it's going to really feel like that way coming spring, the springtime. And then what I saw was like, it felt like fire or heat. So it was like, I put down like lava or a meteor. Like, is it a random sort of huge volcanic eruption, or maybe the fear of a volcanic eruption? Is it a meteor that maybe astronomers are afraid of? I'm not sure, but it felt fiery. So we're going to have this like fear around a cataclysmic event around spring. Okay, super random, but very clearly the image of a school bus came up as another prediction. This is one of the ones that I could not get any more details or information around. I had to just put it in there because last year I had this very clear image of a plane crash And I just said it very randomly, and I didn't get any more information. And there were a ton of plane crashes, like a weird amount of plane crashes in 2025. So I'm just going to mention a school bus. I don't know why I got such a clear image of a school bus. I could not get any more details about it. So I'm just going to put it in there. So sorry about that. Okay, next up, a big prediction around, it feels like a movement. Now, this is something that I saw visually, but this is something that I think we could all agree on that's going to be an impending issue moving forward. And what I put down here is a big debate over home robots, okay? It's kind of like the fear around the Terminator movies and iRobots. Like, that is going to be a really, really big conversation coming up in 2026. And what we're going to start to see is, what I put down is a human-first movement, which means slowly but surely in 2026, we're going to get people who are going to be kind of rebelling or revolting around AI, whether that be AI automation or chatbots or actual in-home robots that are supposed to help us out. There are going to be groups of people that are going to start in 2026 that are going to really push back against AI automation, chatbots, and robots in general. And that movement, this human first movement, is going to increase exponentially over the next 10 years. So that came up really clearly. Let's talk about stock markets, okay? So I saw a downturn in the stock markets. And then I also saw an upturn of cryptocurrency and precious metals. Okay. Once again, I think we could probably look at the trends right now and like sort of predict that. But that came through quite clearly. Now, on the backing of the downturn of the stock markets, and then sort of an upkick in crypto and a big upkick in precious metals, I saw that, let's see, I put it down here somewhere, yeah. Sudden deaths or disappearances of CEOs and influential figures. What did I put? I can't even read my own writing. Oh, stepping down. So either they're sudden deaths or disappearances, or they step down. And then I said, there's a stock market connection. So I don't know if there's like a huge downturn in the stock market and then CEOs step down, or they're stepping down and then there's a big downturn, but there's going to be some sort of weird link to Fortune 500 companies, their CEOs, the downturn in the market. There's just going to be something there that we can kind of watch out for. It doesn't mean that it's going to be downturned for forever, but it doesn't mean it's going to be super dramatic, but as far as like a visual, I definitely saw the stock market charts going down. And like I said, crypto taking a bit of an upkick and then precious metals taking a really big uptick in 2026. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. This was interesting. Another specific thing, take it or leave it. The word that came through with this one was collusion. Okay. Collusion revealed between USA and another country. So it just feels like a really big conspiracy gets revealed in 2026. People are scared. The truth is revealed. And it seems like it had a lot to do with like finances and military. So I don't know if it's like a different country that was funding the military in the US. Like, there's some sort of collusion revealed, okay, in 2026. It could have to do with a whistleblower or declassified documents or something, but there's it's almost like, oh my goodness, I can't believe the USA was working with this country. I would have never expected it. And now people are kind of scared about that. That came up, like I said, really specific. Take it or leave it. Okay, let's talk about the environment. So the first thing that I actually saw when I was remote viewing 2026 was fire, hence the fire in the thumbnail of this video. And so it feels like there's going to be a lot of environmental themes around fire, whether that be like a meteor hitting the planet or a volcano erupting or it being really hot and fires being spread everywhere. It just feels like fire is going to be a theme. And when I took a look at the environment for 2026, it just felt like dry, hot days and fire and like bad crops because of the dry, hot days. So that came through. And then moving on, another AI prediction here. This is going to sound really freaking weird, okay? But when I was probing for 2026, I got an image, okay? Take it or leave it, all right? But I got an image of a man flying, okay? I know it sounds crazy. It literally looked like there was a man in a wing suit. So it looked like a man in a like a bird suit, but we're talking like super highly advanced bird suit. And I had to put it in there because I saw it, but it sounds crazy. So what came through with that was that AI is going to make the impossible possible, and there's going to be a connection between technology and the mind. And what I saw, and I don't know if this bird suit or this man in the bird suit, no, it did not look like an ET. It literally looked like a man in like a tech bird wingsuit. And it wasn't, like I looked into it, was it like a wingsuit, like a parachuter? No. Was it like one of those hoverboard things? No. They look like a new thing. But the biggest breakthrough with this like man in this like bird wingsuit was the connection between AI technology and the mind. It literally felt like he was directing the wings of this suit with his mind, and AI was like capable of doing that. Like it wasn't an implant in his head. It felt like more like it was a wearable device that was monitoring the synapses. I don't know if that's a thing. And I don't know if we're going to see that in 2026 or if that's something that we're going to see in like 2027 and beyond. But there's going to be a very clear connection moving forward between technology, AI, and our mind, but not as an implant or a chip. Like it feels like it's just going to be a conscious, like kind of like the amputees having the hands. And if they like think about clenching their hand, I don't know if this makes sense, but the hand will like clench just because it's feeling the sort of membranes at the edge of the amputated arm. So it's like something like that. That's what it feels like. Anyway, that came through quite clearly. And I'm like, I don't want to really talk about a man in a bird suit, but I'm going to because I literally saw this man flying through the air. Okay. Speaking of which, there's going to be really big medical breakthroughs that are going to shake up the elites. Really big medical breakthroughs. So the one thing that I saw was actually with disease and cancer. And I don't know, did I put that down here? So basically it looked like new medical breakthroughs and then how do I put this? I saw like, you know how they have like for really rich people, they have like galas where they, where rich people donate their money as tax write-offs. And it's all about cancer research and stuff. So it feels like these medical breakthroughs are going to squash all of that. Like this whole system of funneling money into fake research is going to be completely squashed because real solutions are going to start emerging. Now, if you've been in the spiritual world or the communities and you've been awake for a long time, you know that we've had solutions for a long time. And a lot of those people, unfortunately, get taken out for having those solutions. We're finally going to start to see mainstream talk openly about the solutions. And let's just hope that those people are safe and protected who are going to be talking about them. Okay, and then new regulations around AI, but it can't be stopped. So there's going to be just a lot of tension, a lot of contention, a lot of like weird things like people marrying AI or like following AI directions or even like AI-based cults or religious groups. And there's going to be new regulations out because of it. But essentially what I saw is that it just can't be stopped. And that's just going to be a bit of a battle. Like I said, not a huge prediction because I think we could all expect that, but definitely something that came up. And then we're bringing this back. Increasing feeling of a doomsday event. And then like people predicting it. Yeah, so I don't know. Like I kind of mentioned that earlier, but that came up again. Okay, this was also very specific and very political and like take it or leave it. But there's going to be a major whistleblower event around Muslim conspiracies. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know who it involves. But it feels like in 2026, and I'm going to repeat that, there's going to be a major whistleblower event around Muslim conspiracies. And it just feels like deeply embedded in politics. And it feels like the person who is the whistleblower basically releases the documents or releases the proof and like speaks their mind. And then they go on the run and then they are essentially wiped out or taken out because of it. That came up very specifically. I don't know much more other than just what I saw there. Okay. Let's talk about the spiritual shifts and more of the energetic things that are going to happen or that I saw happening. Really big at an individual level, I saw that there are going to be really sudden and unexpected changes. So 2026 is all about expect the unexpected. If you think that you're sitting pretty and that you've dealt with things and that your life is good and that things are easy or whatever, expect the unexpected. If you've been going through a crazy upheaval of an unexpected year already in 2025, then let's hope that you've done the changes and had the shifts that you were that were needed in order to move into 2026, okay? But really sudden and unexpected changes are going to be happening at an individual level in 2026. There's also like this word that comes through for 2026, which is reclaiming. It feels like 2026 brings about a reclaiming cycle. And what came through with that is like a spiritual reclaiming. It's a reclaiming of consciousness. It's a reclaiming of our spiritual abilities. Your psychic abilities are going to come online. As long as you've made those big changes and those big shifts, it just feels like you're going to find that power again. You're going to find the motivation. You're going to find the creativity. You're going to find your mission and your alignment. And it's just like, it's go time for 2026. It brings about new energy, new beginnings, new opportunities. 2025 was the year of the snake. It's the year of death. 2026 is the year of the horse. Like it, we're running. We're a free range horse running in a field and there's nothing that's going to stop us. Okay. Other than the old cycles that you may have not dealt with. So deal with the old shit now before you move forward. Okay. Soul fractals. Yeah. So 2026 is all about anchoring in the new earth timeline. We're not going to totally get there yet, but it is the beginning of the new earth timeline. And it is a time where you need to make a decision. What frequency do I want to feed? Do I want to feed peace and unity and forgiveness and unconditional love? Or do I want to feed fear and anger and separation and aggression and jealousy and attachment and materialism? Whatever your thoughts, actions, environment, and people around you are focused on is the energy, the frequency, the timeline that you are feeding. So really pay attention to what you're focused on and understand that that is the grass that you are watering and ask yourself if that is making you happy. Because I guarantee when we feed materialism and aggression and anger and attachment and polarity and us versus them and greed or whatever, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be authentically happy. When you allow other people to dictate how you feel, you are not going to be authentically happy. It's time to really wake up and understand what you have going on in your life, both externally and internally, and take the radical responsibility to make a choice around what it is that you want moving forward. That is the reality that you will create, and you will create it exponentially. If you are feeding the lower frequencies, you will exponentially see that manifested in your reality. If you are feeding the higher frequencies, you will exponentially see that being manifested in your reality. 2026 is the year of movement, but based on what you're focused on, you are going to move in one direction, my friend, or another. All right, cool. 2026 is the rug pull year. So once again, this theme, if you have not dealt with the bullshit, it's going to come back and pull the rug from underneath you, and it's going to be very shocking and surprising. If you have already made those changes in 2025 and earlier, then the rug shouldn't be pulled. You should just gracefully move into a new direction with that movement and manifestation. And like I said, new motivation, opportunities, spiritual expansion, and all of the above. I love you guys so, so much. I am so excited to have you a part of my team for the new year. I feel it. I feel the fire. I feel the spark. I feel like it is go time. I am so ready to show up. I am so ready to help you see how powerful you are and shift and change the world around us. Let's go, team. And I will be right there with you, holding your hand, showing you the way, and showing you just how powerful you are. Until the next video, I will see you in the highest possible timeline, because we are all choosing unity consciousness. Bye for now. Thank you.
Edwin Goodall on a track off his Excalibur album called Beltane, which of course is a fire festival which occurs between about the end of October, beginning of November. Now everybody's been talking about being awakened in 2026. Are you one of those? Here's some questions for you.
10 common signs of a spiritual awakening. Number 1. Your sleep patterns change and you feel restless, but seem to have more energy. Get used to it, but don't worry, your body will adjust in time. Sign number 2. Shivers, crawling sensations, tingles on your scalp, feeling pressure on the crown like someone is pushing down with a finger. Flashes of great inspiration, creativity or thoughts. Feeling vibrations around your head and ears. Don't worry, this is the opening of the crown chakra and divine energy flowing in. Sign number 3. Sudden waves of emotion, feeling sad, lonely, happy, angry, etc. for no reason. This is a release of the blocked emotion and can come from the heart chakra. Don't be hard on yourself. Acknowledge the feelings as they arise and let them go with love. Sign number 4. Old issues keep coming up. Old issues keep coming back and at times you feel very lost. You're never lost. Face any old issues that arise and deal with them. This is necessary and deeply cleansing. Sign number 5. Your physical body can change. Your eating habits become more healthy. Your whole body and mind is changing. This will settle down as you deal with old issues. Your vibration will rise as you surrender with unconditional love. Sign number 6. Your senses increase in their sensitivity. Your sixth sense opens up and you become much more aware of subtle energies. You may begin to see sparkles of light, shadows, balls of energy, grids of light, movement from the corner of your eyes. You may also hear your name being called, voices, humming in your ears, fleeting smells, and become aware of someone being close to you. These are signs of spirit and your guides. Never fear. Remember that you're always in charge and set down firm rules. Always practice discernment when dealing with spirit. Sign number 7. You begin to see the world with new eyes. You feel loving and at one with everything. Keep in the flow. Be compassionate and loving as best as you can. And don't be hard on yourself when you're having a bad day. Be gentle with yourself as your awareness expands. Sign number 8. You will desire more and more to break free of restrictive patterns and old habits that do not serve you anymore. Have courage and do it. Clear out the old to make room for the new. Sign number 9. You begin to notice more and more signs that speak directly to you on a very profound level. They will have great meaning for you as your awareness blossoms. Sign number 10. Synchronicity flows faster. These wonderful events flow when you're on the right path. Meetings, people, numbers, pictures. There are no limits to the coincidences that come. Try to feel the message behind them and trust your intuition. And remember, you are not alone.
So what's happening at Infinity Spiritual Centre at 550 Anglesey Street? Well, you missed yesterday because that was the first of this year's Introduction to Spirit. But fear not, there's another 7 weeks to go. So you can go and book on the website and I'll be running those for, as I say, for the next 8 weeks. There'll be different subjects every week. And it's just a kohar at the door. And then February, when it all starts, it all kicks off in February. So we've got the Beginner's Tarot on the 7th with Stacey. There's Create and Connect on the 9th. And then Tarot Beyond with Stacey again on the 14th. And also on the 14th, it'll be the first drum making workshop for this year. And then, of course, Introduction to Spirit will carry on for the next few weeks. You can find all details of everything on the website, Infinity Spiritual Centre. .co.nz, or you can just pop in and down Landing Anglesey Street, come and have a cup of coffee and a chat, or just hang out. It's all free. The coffee's not gone. I'm Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.